colonies on the moon, jetpacks, automated elevated highways. That's how the future was envisioned 50 years ago at the World's Fair in New York City. Looking at what was dreamt up in 1964 got us wondering what a World's Fair would be like now. What would our collective imagination come up with? Well, Planet Money's Steve Henn asked some futurists that question and also asked if a World's Fair would even interest anyone these days.
The 1964 World's Fair was filled with rides, sponsored by corporations. There was the Clairel Carousel, for women only, a round glass building with 40 private booths on a slowly circulating turntable. It was, of course, devoted to hair coloring. Then there was the Moon Dome, with exhibits about life in space, and one ride called Futurama, built by GM. It painted a picture of a world where industrial farming took place on the seafloor, and imagined a device that some people today would find horrifying, a machine for cutting down the rainforest to build roads.
First, a searing ray of light, the laser beam, cuts through the trees. Then a giant machine, a factory on wheels, grinds up the stumps and jungle growth.
Paul Saffo, a futurist and Stanford lecturer, says a World's Fair today would have to be different. In 1964, visions of the future were filled with unbridled optimism. If he built a fair, it would be filled with doubt.
Nothing new comes into our lives without a hidden curse.
Saffo says his fair would be about questions, not building roads through the rainforest, but how do we save it? And philosophical questions, like, are we as a species capable of understanding, untangling how our own minds work?
Will machines be smarter than us?
Or this one, which he thinks we might actually answer in the next 50 years.
Are we alone in the universe?
Saffo and a bunch of people I talked to said they thought the idea of a World's Fair didn't even really make sense anymore. The last time we had one in the U.S. was 1984. Andrew Bennett went to it. His mom had loved the 1964 World's Fair, but this one didn't have the same effect on him.
Not at all. Not at all. No.
There was nothing there Bennett hadn't seen before. Nothing he hadn't seen on television. And today, he thinks it would be even worse. That sense of discovery his mom got from the 64 World's Fair, it's hard to capture today.
What made it so exotic and extraordinary is a mouse click away now.
The 84 Fair went bankrupt. In 1992, Chicago tried to host a World's Fair, but it was canceled. Paul Saffo, futurist and Stanford lecturer, says one way to get people to go to a fair today might be to make it a little bit like a real-world version of Wikipedia. Allow anyone to help create it.
In the World's Fair today, it would be more like Burning Man.
Burning Man is an annual festival in the desert each August. For a week, tens of thousands of people construct a massive, living, temporary city. Part art exhibit, part party. It's known for neo-hippies and nakedness. It's free of commerce. Nothing's for sale. But there are these exhibits that paint pictures of the future. There are UFO installations. And a few years ago, artists built a giant dystopian oil derrick. It was 150 feet tall, and at the end of the week, they blew it up. And Andrew Bennett, that kid whose mom fell in love with the World's Fair in 1964, he goes to Burning Man. He says he gets the same jolt from it that his mom got from the fair. He realizes not everyone's up for a week in the desert, but he's begged his mom to come.
She doesn't like dust. It's too far away. She doesn't like the heat. She doesn't want to be away from my dad. She's got a million excuses.
But for Bennett's mother, the World's Fair, the only one that mattered, happened in New York 50 years ago. Steve Henn, NPR News.